With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hello, Dad. How are you? I'm just ringing because I went on my phone and it doesn't seem to be working. So could you top me up, please? Okay. Chat later. I'm on TV tomorrow, so tune in. Okay, bye.
Deleted.
Hello, and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, Daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me with me, Helen Bauer, and
me, Rosie Jones.
Oh, how was your weekend, Rosie?
So good, actually.
It's always good.
I was a bridesmaid. It was so good, but the bride, my great friend Catherine, asked me to write and perform a reading, but then they got so annoyed at me because I treated it like a gig. And now I actually said, right, where's the stage? And they were like, Rosie, it's a church.
Yeah, but an altar is a stage.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I didn't know what they called it. Like,
yeah, because you're like Antichrist, yeah.
And then I was like, so were they vicar like warm up the crowd for him? Is he doing like a tight 10? And they didn't know what that meant.
They didn't do any crowd work or anything before you got on. That's bullshit.
No crowd work. But yeah, really good. I was shot on Jaeger with the best man.
before the wedding, but like,
And then I had a bit of an awkward combo with the bride's dad, because he got drunk and said, oh, Rosie, you're so beautiful. I just want you to find a nice man.
Oh. With tits and a vagina, please. Hello.
I was like, no, I'm okay, actually. And he said, no, you deserve a good man. And I said, no, thank you, I don't want a man. And they went, why not? I went, I'm gay. And they looked at me and went, well, I still love you.
Oh my God! Like he wouldn't.
Oh wow!
But can you see how that's a bad bridesmaid? Because you went and it was her wedding, but you treated it like a gig for you.
Yeah.
And then you also pushed your lesbian agenda on this man and his daughter's special day, who's living purely by Christ's rules, which I respect personally, and I think we all should.
Yeah, I mean, I did a reading at 1 p.m. So by about 10 p.m. I needed to bring it more back on me, so I thought I'll come out.
I mean, it's a smart way to do it. I saw the pictures as well. You were a very sweet bridesmaid. They were all wearing like a pale yellow.
Yeah.
And they had their hair done up in those lovely updos. Like very, very like cutesy, like dandelion bridesmaids. Yeah. And also, I did read the speech you gave, which is a poem you wrote.
Yeah.
I also helped writing it, so let's not... I did.
You wrote that one word.
I wrote the final passage. Yeah. I wrote the... What's it called? A verse?
Yeah.
I wrote the final verse, which is the one that you couldn't do, and I did it, so you're welcome.
Bye.
And it was actually sincerely very, very sweet. I was surprised. I thought it would be a lot more degrading.
I mean, yeah, I tried to rein in all the, like... jokes about tits and puss.
You really managed to not. You didn't even say puss once in the poem, which I thought was fucking delightful.
Right, shall we crack on?
I feel like our guest is there and she has been giggling into the microphone, though. No, don't be sorry. Just, you know what I mean?
Don't be sorry.
Be better. No. Right. I say that all the time. And then Bobby Mair came on the podcast and he was like, oh, you say it all the time. It was funny the first time, but now it's not. And it's like, okay, number one, fuck you. Like, it is funny the first time. I just forget how many times I say it a day.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm working on it. Anyway, please welcome our little attention whore of the day.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Did I take it too far? I don't think so. It's Sophie Duca. Yay.
Applauding into the microphone.
And I can say that because me and Sophie are really good friends because we actually hung out this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, she was sitting with a group of really, really cool girls and I went over and joined them.
We were.
No.
It was an accident.
And then they were all sitting there and I tried to join in the conversation and then I went out for a cigarette and when I came back in, they'd all gone.
Weird places to be.
Do you want to talk about it? About how you all left?
I didn't realise that you were no longer there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't there.
That's even worse.
I'm so sorry. Maybe we should talk about your nicotine addiction.
Maybe we should talk about my nicotine addiction.
Okay,
do you want to talk about it? I'm happy to talk about it because honestly, it's a cruel addiction that has got itself into my veins. But I've actually been doing really well, not smoking as much anymore, apart from this morning, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's because Rosie's company is difficult.
So
you have to smoke through it.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, look at this person I want to smash, look at this. And it's just sort of like, no.
Is it hard for you not to smoke in the studio?
Oh, you have no idea.
She's smoking now.
It keeps me thin. Keeps me thin. Lovely. And also, I think guys actually secretly like the smell of a smoky 6-foot-1 woman. Like, it's like musty.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's basically what's in all
cologne. I know. Did you have a good weekend, Sophie, apart from walking away from
me? It was a good weekend. I saw a lot of friends. And also, I bumped into you.
You didn't even see Rosie at all this weekend, so I don't even fucking care.
Yeah, I didn't see Rosie.
No, I was in the same place, but I was avoiding everyone because I still had like 2 stone of hairspray in my hair.
Yeah, she hasn't mentioned it. She was a bridesmaid.
Okay. So you were coming down off the wedding. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Bridesmaid stuff. I've had a nice time. I feel like my voice is quite husky.
I like it
because my normal voice is disgusting. It's very nasal.
You've got a lovely voice.
I love it.
You're so well spoken.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
You're so welcome.
I was considering being ill for longer just so that I could have a little bit of an energy.
Go out with what hair, like.
Yeah.
Snog people with the flu.
Continue as I've been going on.
Yeah, just keep going as you are.
Do the same.
You're someone that really likes sort of like a sick person. You're like,
Yeah. Someone with like a chesty cough.
Ooh.
Just a lot of phlegm rattling.
I can get one of those pretty easily. Because of the smoking. That's my stress.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If I ever feel like I'm getting too like, Mickey Mouse, then I can just come and stalk you.
Yeah. And then we can hang out more.
Yeah. This is great.
Best friends.
I don't know the tune or the words.
Okay, Rosie looks really upset because now I'm saying you're my best friend.
Don't
We're just colleagues.
Don't
Best colleagues?
Rosie's not my best colleague. No, I love Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hey. Sorry, Jack's not going to be very talkative because he's exhausted from smashing Chris all weekend.
It's
a bank holiday weekend. Got to cave that hole in. but let's choose dignity, ladies, and let's not talk about that because it's his business.
Jack, you've gone red, my love. Oh, sweet baby boy. Oh, you're crying. Oh, you're crying again, Jack. Oh, you're having a nosebleed out of stress, my sweet boy.
shall we talk about childhood?
I mean, all I ever want to do is talk about my childhood, but I guess seeing as you're a guest, we should talk about your childhood.
Yeah. How was little baby girl Sophie?
Little baby Sophie? Like baby Sophie? I'll tell you about baby Sophie.
Yeah.
baby Sophie. I was early.
Were
I was
you?
A little cesarean. I was like, I couldn't remember the difference between cesarean and Caucasian then. What a reveal. I was a little Caucasian baby.
What?
And then things went really down. I was a month early, which is very early.
That is early.
Yeah, and I was very small. I was so small I could fit in the palm of your hand. My dad's hand. Probably not your hand, because you'd have been babies then as well.
I would have. Oh, no, I was born with massive hands. Small baby body, really big hands.
You want a baby holding another baby? Yeah.
I came out as a grabber.
Very small. And there was a bit where I was an incubator for a bit, and they had a little pipe. Tube,
yeah.
a little tube to feed me with, but they had to take it away because like so I could eat it. But they were like, "She's eating so much, she'll tire out her own heart."
So you were binging, and
I was binging as a baby. They were like, "We'd rather risk not feeding this premature baby."
And do you think you've learnt now that it's food and not love, or is it still sort of a thing you're going back to?
I'm still very, it's very, very needy. Still
compulsive overeater.
Yeah. Well. I think a binger.
Yeah,
well, you stuffed all about a wrap the feast down and famine. Your face before lunchtime
Food.
Today.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I asked for tips and then I went with neither of your tips. I don't know if you noticed.
No.
My tip was have a banana.
Yeah.
My tip was chili.
Chili. But it was chili beef, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chili beef wrap at 10:30
as many animals.
Right.
I keep accidentally eating that name.
That wasn't an accident. I went into the shop with you and you went, I want the chili cheese. It was really good last time.
Beef.
Good morning, I'll have the beef.
What animals have you got?
Exactly. Give me a moo, give me an oink. What do I want? What do I want?
And the 10 a.m. beef kick.
It's fucking disgusting. But then you got out of the incubator at some point.
I got out of the incubator. Then I, as a child, was very shy.
Who are you?
I was very, very shy.
Do you have any siblings?
I do have some siblings. I'm the eldest.
Oh.
Thank you. It's a burden.
How many?
I've got one brother.
Yeah.
And two half-brothers. Fake brothers. They're both Malaysian.
Amazing.
Are they in Singapore? Yes. No one knew how that was going to turn out.
Malaysians are tricky
ones.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Singapore. Right. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So did you grow up with them?
With the Malaysians? No. They're much younger. Much younger than me. They're like 6. No, they're 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're living their best lives. They won't listen to this. but yeah, little brother called Chenning, who's just great. He's just like a golden boy. Everyone loves being around him. He's really happy all the time.
But was that annoying?
That was really annoying.
Yeah.
Because he's just so charismatic without even trying.
Yeah.
He now works in tech.
What?
Oh,
but he's one of those people who sounds like he could work in anything and everyone would just be like, he's the
anything.
Best.
Yeah. He also loves to cook. Which got him loads of attention because everyone was like, he's a boy and he can cook. He can't wash up, but he can cook.
Do you think that's when you first started getting an inkling of like, I can do loads of stuff as well?
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's like a lot of competition when there's two of you because you're just like, well, I know things. So I'd like set him like sort of like activity challenges throughout the day so I could be in charge of them. I'd just
wait,
be like...
Wait, how old were you when you started making your brother do that?
I think probably about 5.
And he was...
He's 3 years younger, so he'd be two.
Two when you put him to work.
Two. One to work at.
I mean, it was kind of age appropriate.
What were the challenges?
So I don't think this would be 2 years old because it's a bit more sophisticated. But I do like treasure hunts and also tell him to jump off things. Like from the closet onto the bed. The top of the closet onto the bed.
It's quite frightening.
It's quite frightening.
Were you doing it as well, or were you testing him?
I'd make him do it first, and then I'd be like, and now I shall. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did you want him to die?
Rosie! Wow. That's such a big question. But did you want him to die?
I think I really loved him. Aww. I think when I was little, I think like the Christmas that he was born.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me in my beautiful green velvet dress. And I'm holding the baby. Oh, and it's like, it's my baby. I'm just like presenting it to the camera, and I'm just like, because I figured out that I would be in more pictures.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, I was very shy as a child. I think when I started like going to proper school,
yeah,
and like was very shy and introverted, but I always liked being photographed. And I figured out that if I held a baby, I'd be in more photographs.
Yeah.
So that was
Give me that baby.
And then when you went to school, did you start off shy and then slowly came out of your shell?
Yes. Oh. But the thing is that I was really insecure. I was like a very big like bookworm. So my books were my friends. And I was very like, I don't want to invite anyone over to stay. This is quite sad because I was like, you don't have to call someone.
Yeah.
So like when I ever had to call someone from school, I'd like rehearse the conversation before I did it.
I understand that though, because you're calling their parents first and then you have to ask if they're free.
Yeah.
Like it's quite a lot as a child.
I actually wrote it down like on a piece of paper, like a set list, and I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, hello, this is Sophie from school. It's Stella. Oh, can I please be? And then if they went off script, I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah. They're like, actually, Stella's not in at the moment. I don't know.
So yeah, I did really like that. But yeah, just a picture in a velvet dress. Oh, love that.
That's the best lie.
But yeah, I basically, like many of us, I'm sure, discovered the dramatic arts.
Yeah.
Preach.
Started doing drama in year 8, maybe.
Yeah.
Like at school or at outside?
I went to a drama club. Okay.
Yes, please.
So I went to a drama club after school, but I was never really like pushed to the fore. I think I thought that like my stardom would just come out.
Yeah.
So I just had to be sort of in the room, and I didn't have to actually act or do anything. I was in a production of Bugsy Malone when I was little, which is
amazing.
But
did you play?
Well, I played a gang member, which sounds like profiling, but actually quite big parts. I was in Fat Sam's gang. It was the first time in my life that I was in Bugsy Malone. The second time I was in Dandy Dan's gang, which is a downgrade. I was in Fat Sam's gang, and I was very excited about it, and I got my whole family to come, almost my whole family, because my dad didn't make it.
What? And here we go. We just revisit that old familiar topic.
He promised he would come.
Unbelievable.
But he didn't come.
Where was he?
He was, I think, photocopying some documents.
Oh my God, Sophie, no!
For my little brother's visa.
Oh! Okay, a visa? I mean, can we allow that one?
It wasn't that. So he promised he would come, and he walked in at the curtain call. The whole thing.
Did he try and pretend that he'd been there the whole time?
I was like, I knew you weren't there. And I didn't let him forget it. I've been like, for years, like, I still tell him about that. I was like, well, you didn't come to Bugsy Malone. He's like,
He could have done that whenever.
Whenever.
I just feel like a visa is sort of like an impending time sort of a thing.
No.
And also, like, now we know you were in Bugsy Malone twice. Did he make it to the second one?
No.
Okay, well then fuck him. You know what? He's being a prick.
I don't even know where he was. Probably photocopying some documents. I used to think my dad was a spy because he wasn't at a lot of events, but it turns out he's just a flicky.
What? He might be.
No, I thought he was a spy, but it turned out he was just having an affair.
Well, don't worry, because you've got a new daddy now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Right. I thought it was creepy at first as well, but I've really started getting into it.
Yeah, you do get on board with it.
I still find it hard to call you daddy, like in public, but I'm getting better at being in here and being like, daddy.
I mean, it's a real weird dynamic.
Yeah. Oh, where none of us are comfortable with it.
I think Rosie seems.
I am so comfy.
Think that starting drama at school like got you out of your shell a bit?
Yes, yeah. I did. So I was just like, people are looking at me.
Yeah.
And I could be any, like, they weren't looking at me, they were looking at whoever was portrayed. Because I don't know if you know how acting works, but you're actually...
Yeah. I actually grew up in a drama school, so I do.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you even know who you are?
I mean, I'm confused most of the time, but my name is Helen and I've got a 38G breast.
That's how you check. You're like, have I?
How am I doing? And I've got that third nipple at the moment.
I'm not Sean Proctor. Yeah. No, I am.
Look at it. Does everyone just look at this?
I think you have to describe it because this is podcast.
Right.
It's
I've
pink.
Got a spot just the side of my chest. And it's like,
right. It's not got like, it's not a spot because it hasn't got the yellow bit in the middle. Jack, can you look at me, please? Why are you looking away? Actually, Jack's got a picture of this and it's fine.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And it just, it's like, it's bumped up like a sort of weird nubbin. Like
yeah, it's not as big as a... If your nipples were that small...
Do you want to see?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Jack,
let's
look
see.
Away. I've got massive nipples.
Oh!
Look at the size of that. Tits away, you're all right, Jack. You can look
it's
back.
Like, it's smaller than it is.
So
it's
it doesn't
like
fit in. Yeah, that's the thing.
So, yeah, right, Jack, a little baby nipple.
I've got a baby nipple at the moment. Yeah. How did we even get onto this?
How are we talking about you? We're talking about my childhood.
Honestly, this is my main skill.
We were talking about selfie childhood, and then you got all three nipples out.
I only took out two.
You only took out two.
Yeah, it was fine, actually.
By the end of the show, we'll see the third one.
Honestly, ooh. The third one, the other main one, if we're going to call them that, isn't as good. Like, that's the bad
thing. Is that
tip.
Why you used really? To be made out like it was a random decision, but then you took out...
No, I know exactly which one I'm going for. Like, my hand feels very comfortable whacking that one out. But if I whap out both whabs, it's like... Blah, blah, blah. Like, because you look at the bad one. It seems like you look at a car crash instead of a car driving nicely. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not driving saying it's nicely. A car crash.
Like, driving so nicely.
They're driving fucking lovely, aren't they, today?
Yeah.
That's what they're bloody doing. No, come on, Sophie. Right. Let's stop talking about my amazing rack. Let's get into, like, who is Sophie Duca? And, like, how is she the way she is?
Yeah.
Sophie, do you feel like you got enough attention from the drama classes, or do you think it gave you a taste of attention and you were like, how do I get more?
Oh, I think drama was very good for making me be like, wow, if I make up a funny rhyming song, more people will want to be my friend. And that was not the case, but it turns out there are a lot of lonely people doing improv, so
which is still true to this
still
day,
true.
My love.
A lot of lonely improvisers. Although I didn't do improv until I went to university, I was like, I want to do everything. So there was like a sketch club and there was like an improv club, and I was like, I'm going to audition for both. And then I auditioned for the improv club and got in, and I was like, it's fine, I found my track. And I never thought I wanted to do stand-up because I was like, I'm too neurotic. If I'm just like focusing on myself and how I'm presenting to other people, then I'll get even more neurotic.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just be part of a gag, a fun gag, who support each other, who have mad adventures. And that was my real, I guess, pathway to the stage.
So what's the point where you were like, oh, I can make people laugh like this?
So I think that I started doing performance and stuff, but I always had this like belief inside me that was like, they'll look at me eventually. Like, I know I'm really great. Like, of course.
Yeah.
So I'd always do stuff which was kind of like writing like stuff for like loads of people to perform, and they'd be like, well, of course it's great. But I never like stood on stage by myself until I went to Paris, France.
What?
I went to France, which is the country of...
The frogs.
Right.
And I was like, I don't have my improv team here. I'm all alone and nobody's giving me attention.
What were you doing in Paris, France?
What were you doing in Paris, France?
What were you doing in Paris, France, Europe, world? That's crazy.
I studied English and modern languages, which is a very misleading title because I studied English and French. So I went to live in France for a year.
Lovely.
It was great because I basically did no work for a year and lived in a weird commune in Paris, France.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, oh, I'm not performing and I can't really talk to people. Mm. So like, because I wasn't fluent in French at the time, I would just end up being like a sort of weird clown. Like you'd make more like noises. Because you can't make people laugh otherwise. And like to get your head around a joke, like...
Yeah.
like the conversations with her was like belle, très drôle. She's not very funny.
But you are Sophie, my love. Just because your dad didn't want to come see you perform in Bugsy Malone doesn't mean that you're not a very funny young lady.
I appreciate it if you didn't bring it up again.
I will continue to.
Okay.
We will.
Okay. So then I did stand up for the first time in Paris, France.
Oh, wow.
At an English language comedy night.
Mate, yeah. We're like
funny,
twins.
Lonely, vicious. Is that when you did?
No,
you did
I started in Germany.
In Germany.
In English language. But yeah.
Amazing. I actually only did two shows.
Oh, okay.
Two shows.
I was committed.
Yeah. I only did 2 hours.
Just 2 hours. I only toured here around Marseille and yeah, and I was just like, I just feel shit. People not looking at me, so I'm like, I'm gonna do it. And they had loads of storytellers at the night, like, but they were always just bad stand-ups. They wanted people to laugh, but they didn't want to say, I'm a stand-up. So I was like, I'm a stand-up and I'm gonna do some stand-up.
Great.
And my first stand-up was me just basically pretending to be Sasha Obama, the hot one. Sasha Obama.
Oh, Sasha Obama.
Sasha Obama.
I'm with you.
Sasha Obama.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it was great.
Obama's daughter.
Obama's daughter, Sasha Obama. It does, if you say it really fast, it does sound like Sasha Obama.
I was like, oh, that's someone that I don't know. That's what Sasha, I thought. Yeah. Wait.
I thought it was one word.
Sasha Obama. Sasha. Malia.
Malia, I think.
Malia.
And that's fine though.
Wow.
So wait, you went on stage pretending to be Sasha Obama. Wait, and what was the set?
I can't remember a lot of this. So I also met comedian Ivo Graham in Paris.
No way!
Yes! Fun fact, we made very close friends very quickly, but I think I already knew who he is because I wrote in my Paris diary, that's Ivo Graham, I'm going to make him my friend. And then I walked over to him and I was like, some of us are going for crepes. You want to come? And then he was like, oh, well, yeah, of course, maybe. Yeah. And then I was like, whatever, walked off. What?
Some of us are going for crepes.
We did go for crepes. He arrived too late to get prepped, but didn't matter. And then
why was he there?
He also studied French.
No.
Yes.
Same university as you?
Same university as me.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah. And he...
That's cool.
Yeah. Very bad at French, but very nice man.
Very good comedian.
Very good comedian.
Great comedian.
I remember there was a time when he was just... We hung out a lot in Paris, and he talked about comedy, and he was just one point sitting on my bed, rolling around, being like, oh, Sophie, why aren't I more edgy? Which I think is adorable if you know Ivo Graham, who is the most edgeless man in the world.
Yeah. We ran into him the other day, actually, going to get new glasses.
Oh,
it's very exciting.
That is exciting. I feel like we've digressed.
Yeah. Oh, massively.
Oh.
Actually, I want to bring up something. Do you want to go first?
No, you.
Thank you.
Go on.
I feel like you did a very clever thing there, Sophie, by talking about Baby You, which Rosie started, so that's not your fault.
Yeah.
And then you sort of went to the university years. We missed out on all the great 13, 14, 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And that's peak attention time. Yeah.
Peak attention.
Like, you're getting it for the things you don't want, and you're not getting it for the things that you think you should be. Like, can I just make a quick guess here? I feel like when you were 13, 14, you wrote poetry. Please tell me I'm right.
I don't think I wrote my own poetry.
Damn it, Helen!
I must have written poetry. I wrote stories.
Yeah.
I also wrote erotic fan fiction.
great. About what?
Harry Potter, obviously.
Yes.
You fucking loser. You're such a loser.
Wow. I said erotic, so it's obviously very artistic and creative.
Could you just like give us a quick idea of like what your story? No, because I want to use this against you. Yeah.
Okay.
So who was involved?
Okay, so I basically, as I was like a young girl wanting to explore her sexuality, I wrote exclusively what is called Marauder era erotic fan fiction. So it's fan fiction about the era of like Harry's parents. Yeah. So like James, Sirius, Remus, Peter.
Fuck.
Wow. The 70s. and the main two characters I shipped was Remus and Sirius, because you've got sensitive werewolf Remus, he's kind of like bookish, he's got this dark secret, and you've got bad boy Sirius, he's got like just staring at me like, what the fuck?
No, well, if I was your dad, I wouldn't have come to your place either. That's fucking tragic, isn't it?
No, I'm into it.
Okay. I also dabbled in other. I also did a bit of Harry Draco.
What was their romance?
I think it was called the Harry Draco I co-wrote with an Irish girl who I'd only met on the internet, and she's mainly Harry. It was a fan fiction called King of Hearts, because it was like in a dark sort of twisted Hogwarts where they had like sort of like illegal after hours like gambling debts in like the Slytherin common room.
Yes.
So King of Hearts, yeah.
But you went to a good university, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
What the fuck? I didn't even go to university. And I was doing better stuff when I was... Do you know what I mean? I was changing lives.
I love it. They can't enter in a, like, homoeroticness.
Yeah.
I bet
Jay... It's not inner. She was making it outer. She was even publishing it online. Self-publishing. Not real publishing.
It was real publishing. I had a lot of people who regularly read my fan fictions.
Do you in contact with any of them now?
No, some of them I have on Facebook. We've still never met anyone from the internet. It's not a good thing.
Safety first.
Safety. One thing I did for attention was I did snort a line of sherbet. When I was in year like 7?
Seven?
All right.
11 years old, you pretended.
No, not yet. I must have been about 15.
Yeah. Oh, see, it's always 13, 14, 15.
13,
14,
yeah.
15. Such golden years.
I kind of knew what drugs are. Also, we smoked some grass, like literal grass.
Yeah, yeah. The oregano, yes.
I think it's poisonous. Oh, is it? I think grass is poisonous.
Yeah. But you've turned out absolutely fine.
It'll be fine.
Saying that you did eat a banana with a skin on stage this weekend, didn't you?
Oh, God, I did eat banana with a skin on. And also, I keep remembering them. Sorry, I'm very ill. We had a Founders Day at my school. This was when I was about 11.
What's a Founders Day?
There's a woman who founded our school.
Oh, right.
She founded it. She also founded Camden School for Girls, Slags, at my school, which remained unnamed.
How do you found a school?
She set it up.
Oh.
Her name is Frances Mary Buss.
I thought you meant that.
She discovered it.
How easy would that be? Be like, oh, there's a school. Great.
You can have a Finder's Day because I found this school.
Rosie's from the north.
There it is.
Wait, so you went
to Founders
Day?
It's like a nice posh school with a lot of history. There's like a founder who like made the school who you all like worship.
I didn't go to one of those schools.
No. She's called Frances Mary Buss. So we had a bus ship that we wore on our, it's a type of ship, on our blazers and our jumpers had a little logo of a bus ship.
Two types
of transport in one.
A bus ship.
No, also her favourite flower was a daffodil.
Uh-huh.
So we had a procession every Founders Day where we all held daffodils.
Cute.
And processed down and like left them in like a little trough.
She's dead now.
She's dead. It was like a sort of weird ritual. Yeah. But I was like, another one of the things where I was like, I want attention, but I don't know what to do about it. I was standing in Founders Day, like the queue to go up. And I just had my daffodil in front of me and I just ate it. Just ate the whole thing. I ate the whole daffodil. And I got to the front and they were like, where's your daffodil? And I said, I ate it.
Just to be clear, like, was it just the head or the entire stem?
I think like the whole head.
In one or petal by petal?
Slowly. Because no one was looking at me because I was like quite shy and like not doing anything. So I was just like, well, if someone sees this, it's gonna blow their minds.
It's amazing the choices you make. You're like, this'll make a splash. It's just like, no, you're just the freak that ate the daffodil.
Just ate the daffodil. And also I didn't like announce it. I didn't stand up and like, behold, I have eaten my daffodil. But like, I just told that teacher and it like, obviously will really affected her. But it was like that attention was good. That's specific. Giving attention about me eating a daffodil.
What did she say?
She was just like, okay, and then took my stalk and put it in the trough with the others.
Oh,
I don't know if she took any other kind of attention. So I was always doing like slightly weird stuff to get people to look at, but never like.
Oh, babe, that's not slightly weird. That's really fucked up.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
It was fun. I'm still alive.
Do you think, were people watching you eat it and you were like, keep going, it's working?
I think I was sure, like, that people were, that people would be watching me, that people would notice.
Yeah.
I think it was less like everyone look at me at that stage. It's just like, if someone notices this, they'll be like, what's she up to?
What's she doing? I want to be her friend.
Yeah.
Can I assume, was your dad at Founders Day? Was he watching and that's why you felt like you had to do something
extra? He wasn't there.
Surprise. Here we go again. Bloody hell, sir.
Daddy wasn't there.
He
wasn't around when I was about 11, which is also when I started getting into drama. He's also never seen me do stand up.
Actually, my dad neither, so we'll let that one be.
Oh, like, is that his choice or yours?
Well, he does live in Singapore, so I don't see him that much. I haven't toured Singapore yet, but I hope that maybe.
There's gigs there, my love. There are gigs.
There are gigs.
You can take your own daffodils.
Yeah. But part of it is a bit far away. I think he might come this year to see me.
How
and my one woman production, yeah. Fancy Malay.
But you need to make sure he's got no photocopying to do.
Oh, yeah. Or affairs.
Actually, no, affairs do come first because you've got to give her attention.
Yeah, you know,
you got to live a double life. It's a lot of stress for the man. And you do have to be respectful and let them have their time and space.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've had some public romantic tragedy.
Oh, you had a breakup on the street.
It was when I was living in Paris, France.
Yeah. Oh, Paris, France. I know it.
Yeah. I was living in Paris, France.
You were best friends with Ivo Graham. Because you went for crepes.
I went for crepes with Ivo Graham. And I was also dating a French man. But we had a secret relationship because he was my flatmate. So it was a secret from everybody for a while. And then we came out with it. And everyone we lived with was like, we know, we live here. We're five people in a two-bedroom flat.
Oh, was that annoying? Because you want to make the announcement of like, guess what, guys? And they're like, no.
He told everyone. But I hadn't told anyone because I was just like, this like English girl that was staying with them. And like, they were all friends. It was four French guys.
Guys
are just more fun than girls.
I get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get on with girls.
Go to Allerwurst.
But he was leaving to go away for a year to South America to just like make his fortune. And he was very bohemian, so he did like loads of like leather bags. And I said goodbye to him in the flat. And was wearing for some reason a silk dress because I think I want it to be a romantic moment.
Yeah.
So I said goodbye and I was like, I guess I'll see you when I see you. And then he was like, come with me. And just like to the metro. He was like, I don't want to leave you. Because first he was like, I just want to say goodbye to you in the flat. So like it's just like a perfect moment to say goodbye to you in the flat and it's like fine. But then he was like, actually come with me to the metro. So I was like, yes, I will. Yeah. So I stepped outside. I was like barefoot wearing this silk dress.
Fucking hell, Sophie. That's a choice.
I walked, because he was just like, guys, I was like, okay. So I walked with him down the street of Paris, like all the way to the metro. So I had the like big like métropolitain like over the metro, him standing in the middle with all these bags, and me standing in front of him with a silk dress. And then we both just started weeping.
No.
Yeah, just started crying.
Oh my God, gorgeous.
And I had all this gravel on my feet, and he put down all his bags, like his like big backpack, his like leather suitcase, and he just like lifted me up into the air, kissed me.
Oh.
And then he like put me down, put all his bags up and like walked down the steps into the metro. And I was just like sobbing, fully sobbing, and like turned to my right, and there were like two old French women sitting there with like croissants and like just like staring at me, like watching this moment. Yeah. And I just did like a little like shrug, like put my both my hands up in the air, and they both shrugged back at me. And then I walked barefoot back through the streets of Paris to our apartment.
Oh my God.
That's a perfect end.
Yeah.
Did you see him again?
I did see him again.
And it's now he's your boyfriend.
No, he's not my boyfriend. No.
That's amazing. Now, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. I once made out with a guy on Regent Street in exchange for a cigarette. So
that is the same.
Yeah,
that
outside of families. Yeah. Just on the street. I was like, can I have a cigarette? And he was like, oh, you got to kiss me. And I was like, oh.
Did you have to use tongue, though?
I think he pushed it in. I think I bit. And then I took the cigarette.
And then did you?
And then these two
French ladies were like,
oh, pourquoi pas? And then he put his cock away and we went on with our days.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was actually very similar.
Very
and then
similar.
I fainted. I think you've been like the most amazing guest. We've just crushed it, have we not, Jack?
Yes.
Do you want to do your daddy thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be scared, Sophie.
If I was your daddy, I would encourage you to follow your dream and you go out there and you give the world the warm woman books in the loan place. And I think you could do a 10-night stint at the O2.
Oh, wow.
And I should...
I'm going to jump in. Sorry, I don't think the O2 is very good for musical theatre. I think it needs to be in a classic theatre. So I see you more in, like, the lyric.
The lyric.
Okay, more manageable. Yeah, okay.
Well, the lyric is smaller, so maybe a 20-day stint at the lyric. And as your daddy... I will make sure I have no photocopying to do for the entire 20-day run.
Oh my God.
And I will be there front row centre, crying with pride every single night.
And as your other dad, two productions of Bugsy Malone, just get over it. It's not a big deal. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they can't have been that great, because I've never heard about these productions that you were in North London. Yeah. So I'm just... Wow. Move on.
No,
okay, sorry.
Follow your dream.
Thank you, Daddy.
But within reason, you know, don't be desperate.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone should follow Sophie on all the social medias. Yes. What's your handle?
My handle is at Sophie Dukebox, which is SOPHIEDUKEBOX. Oh God, I'm so glad I can spell.
I'm proud of you.
Sophie Dukebox everywhere.
Do you have anything to push or promote?
Yes, I do. If you happen to be in London, or one of the times when it is not in London, I have a night called Wacky Racist.
Yes!
You can find it by looking for Wacky Racist. It's not actually a night for actual racists, just in case anyone is getting
unless
excited.
They're super wacky.
Just, unless they're just a bit zany, a bit quirky.
Yeah.
They've got a bow tie, a ukulele.
Oh,
they can
fun.
Yeah. It's a comedy night, so come and see it. And
also,
I'll be in Edinburgh. I'll be in Edinburgh doing a show called Venus, like the goddess.
And the Pleasance Courtyard?
At the Pleasance Courtyard at Pleasance Below at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Pleasance Below, Venus.
Sophie Duka.
Sophie Duka.
At Sophie Jukebox.
At Sophie Jukebox.
Sophie, thank you so much for coming on. You're my favourite daughter.
Thank you, Daddy. I never thought I'd lean into this as much, but you guys.
Yeah, she really tricks you, doesn't she? Well, that's a goodbye from me, Daddy, and Sophie, and Jack. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You have one new voice message.
Edward, gamble. How the hell are you? Right. The thing is, me and Helen want to chat to you about your issues. You know, a bit more than your bloody diabetes, because I know you whittle on about that all the time. Anyway, come and we'll chat to you. We'll have a lovely time. Okay, bye-bye.
Deleted.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.